Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison, Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? We are live. It is another Wednesday coming to you live from Torta Pizza, 88th Avenue and 4th Street in St. Pete. A lot of things to get to. We have the champ coming up, Kamaru Usman, Chris Lytle, to talk about some things that's going to be happening in Biloxi and so on. Mickey Gall about his fight last week, but we have to get right to it for two reasons. One, the big emergency thing that happens at 220, but also this dude's got something to do. So let's go up to New York, New Jersey. Alex Nicholson, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. I know today's a busy, busy day. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great, and I appreciate you guys having me.
Excited. You know, one of the things that drives me crazy, and anybody that listens to the show knows a lot of things drive me crazy. You know, I heard something like, you know, this is an important fight. This is make or break for Alex Nicholson. Isn't every fight an important fight? Isn't every fight a make or break fight?
Yeah, man, even when I walked through the doors to walk out to my first amateur fight, you never know what could happen, man. Every time we go out there, whether you're a highly skilled professional, a guy making his amateur debut, or you get into an altercation at the Wawa, your life is on the line. You're fighting for your life. At least that's how serious I take it. So, you know, make or break, nothing. I could go out there and lose in 4 seconds, and my bills are still paid. I'll still be training. I'll still be looking forward to the next fight. I could go out there and knock him out in 4 seconds, and it's the same exact thing. I mean, people are going to love, people are going to hate, and, you know, everyone wants to cling on to you when you're doing well, but we all know it's the people who are there when you're down and out that really matter. But at the end of the day, it's just a job. It's not make or break. It's a sport. The career, and it's all about your mentality and how you look at it. I think I agree with you. That's a stupid thing to say.
Does it bother you as much as it bothers me? You know, I always, when these things bother me, I reach out to people I respect, you being one of them. Talk me down. Should I not let it bother me as much as it does?
At this day and age, man, there's people that are going to argue with you that the sky is green, and they're going to have some BS to back it up. So, you know, I've learned being in this game, you know, especially the fight game, there's a lot of stupid people surrounding themselves, acting like they know what they're talking about, just like every other sport. But, you know, how can the guy that has never gone in there in his life and hasn't even been around the sport have knowledge on it, just seen a few fights, drinks beers, sits around the TV and tells us he's got all the knowledge in the world. You know, same guy that'll tell you the world's flat and the sky's green, like I said.
Right.
There's no reason to waste your energy on these. But they'll always get you. Occasionally, they'll always get you, man. You know, we're all guilty of arguing with that idiot on Instagram.
No, absolutely. And the only thing that I'm going to add to, it's not just the fight game. It's the game of life. You know, I helped my brother. We purchased a lot of vehicles for his company. We purchased a vehicle that was driven from Jacksonville to Tampa with broken seats in the back of the van. And they looked at our branch and said, oh, did you want that fixed?
Yeah, man. Well, Forrest Gump said it, man. Stupid is, stupid does, right?
Right. Well, you know, and they're the things that make me laugh. You know, when I get all boiled up, you know, when I hear the comments, you know, like I just mentioned to you, it's the stupidity things, you know, that you also see and also read about, you know, that makes it enjoyable. And all you can do is laugh and improve your day and smile and move on.
Yeah, you're not lying, man. Like I said, you get caught up arguing with that person on Instagram. You do some research and then you realize you're arguing with a 9-year-old from Idaho. And it's right. Like, oh, man. But The worst part is when it's a grown man and you look and you're like, how does this this poor soul think this way? You know, right. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what they say, you know. The Rock, it doesn't matter what you think. It's
perfect.
It doesn't. It really doesn't matter what they say or what they think. What matters is what's really going down.
Let me ask you this, and we've had you on the program numerous times, and as always, thank you very much for your time. What are you thinking about in the middle of a fight? I mean, are you concentrating on what you're doing three, you know, punches or moves down the, you know, down the line? Or have you ever drifted off and not even thought about the fight? Or, you know, talk us what's happening in the middle of a fist fight.
I've had fights where I'm supremely confident and I feel like I'm going to win. And then I wake up and I'm like, duck. I've had fights where...
You said duck. You said duck, right? Duck?
Duck. Yeah, duck. Oh, okay. Duck. You know?
Make it sure.
Yeah, you know, no swear words on that. But it's an interesting thing. It's always a different thought. It's always victory. And sometimes if you watch my fights, I get cracked. And then I'm like, oh, I got to finish. You hear the crowd. Oh, you hit him. And then I go crazy. But with this fight in particular, I think the key is to stay calm. I got the experience. I got the knowledge. And I got the athleticism. And fighting a heavyweight, everybody's big and dangerous. So I try to keep that crazy finish thought away until they're really wobbled and they're really hurt. And I know that that's, you know, what's about to go down is my opponent. So it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting question because your mind drifts. We're all human beings. And no matter what anybody says or they want to sound like, oh, my savage mentality, my persona, we all doubt ourselves and everything that we do, even things that we're good at. So it's okay to accept it.
Well, you know, that's why I always ask, you know, you fighters, all the athletes about, you know, when everybody asks you about game plan, you know, is there really a game plan? There's things that you know you want to do, but how can you have a game plan when you don't know what the opponent is going to be doing as you're doing your game plan?
You can't. You know, guys devise game plans on footage, and they watch. That's why I don't watch a lot of footage, because anything can happen. You could watch all this footage, and this guy comes out and fights completely different. You know, he could be a striker, and then he works on his grappling and things. Well, I want to change my game. I want to try to take him down. And next thing you know, you're fighting a guy who's been working on his grappling. He's actually really good at it, and, you know, you're sitting there, you know, what's going on? My game plan is always to win and adjust to what he's going to do. And like you just said, you can't know what he's going to do, so you got to be smart. But the mentality, as many people are starting to figure out, is the most important part of this. You could be physically ready. You could be firing off at all cylinders and feel great. But if you don't go out there and perform, you're going to lose. Like I've been saying to a lot of people, you could be the best sniper in the world, but if you don't go out there and pull the trigger, you're not going to shoot anybody. I mean, you got to...
Right.
You got to set your sights, get your adjustments down, and bang, bang. I mean, you got to do what you've been training to do. And I've been doing this a long time now, so I think my mentality is one of the best and strongest in the game. I don't think anybody can hurt me mentally, and I'm trying not to let them do it physically.
Thank you for the great segue, saying that you've been in the fight game for a long time. We are talking to Alex Nicholson. Gets back in the cage tomorrow night. PFL. Weigh-ins coming up momentarily. Being a professional fighter, is it the same to you today as it was 2 minutes, 2 days before your very first professional fight?
Yes, it is. I mean, the same exact thing for me. Just like I said, I don't care if I'm making my amateur debut. I don't care if we get into an altercation at the gas station. I don't care if it's the $1 million PFL fight, a world title fight. Whatever fight it is, it's a fight. And if you don't fight, whoever you're standing against is going to beat you, man.
You're going to lose.
Yeah, you got to perform. And we've seen it at the highest levels. We've seen it at amateur levels. You go out there and you freeze up, you know, it's the worst thing that could happen, because then you let yourself down and you got to go out there and just go. There's nothing worse than... You know, I go out there and I perform to the best of my ability and I lose. I got to go back to the drawing board. I go out might be. Just, you know, what do you got to do? You got to talk to maybe God. You got to talk to yourself. You got to talk to your friends and family and figure out if this is really for you anymore. And I've never had that problem.
Right.
I go out there and I fight, man. And if you see me fight, whether you like me or you hate me, you can't argue with that statement.
You definitely do come to fight. Alex, thank you very much for your time, especially on weigh-in day. I appreciate you making time for us. And can't wait for you to get back to the Sunshine State. And, you know, let's get you back down to the Tampa Bay area and get you some pizza and let's have a good time.
Yeah, man. I'm ready for some pineapple and Patron after this.
We'll take care of it. Alex, have fun tomorrow night, all right?
Appreciate you guys for your time, man. Thank you.
That is Alex Nicholson back in the cage tomorrow, PFL. Good dude. I really do like the guy. You know, he says it like it is. He comes to fight. And, you know, and I like his attitude. You know, I'm coming to fight. Things happen.
Yeah.
You know, I throw a knee, it's on ESPN. I don't throw the knee, and I'm on ESPN.
And it's not often we get two Spartans on the same episode, so it was nice to have him on already.
Who's the other Spartan?
Obviously.
No, you're a tool.
No, I am the...
you're a tool.
Pete the Gladiator.
But I hate to tell you this. You've lost the kingdom.
I lost the kingdom? I'm the king.
No, you're not.
Lose the kingdom.
You're not. You're now the queen of tools.
The dumb?
No. You're the queen of tools.
What's the king without the dumb? Nothing.
You are now the queen of tools.
Okay.
I was shown a picture of the king of tools.
Okay.
Okay. I used to think that it was a close 1-2. You being the biggest tool I've ever been around, and a former acquaintance of mine who went to a UFC was credentialed,
okay,
and got up on top of the table to clap when the fighter that did our radio show that week won.
First rule of Fight Club is there's no clapping in media row.
There's no clapping in anything media.
That's true.
You know, when you go to anything media, and I took another tool to a Hall of Fame thing, the NFL Hall of Fame, and they announced, and this clown jumps up and starts giving them a standing ovation. There's certain things you don't do in the media. You know what else you don't do in the media?
What's that?
The guy who took your title as King of Tools.
Okay.
He took a selfie of his Buccaneer credential.
Okay.
Of him holding his Buccaneer credential in the bathroom.
Why?
Well, first of all, I don't know why, because if I was to talk to this tool bag...
Is it just to show off that he was there?
Absolutely.
Really?
That's exactly what it is.
Wow.
You know, but the worst part... Well, there's three worst parts. So which is the worst part?
Okay.
The fact that you took a selfie in the bathroom. What if there was somebody else in the bathroom while you're taking the selfie?
What if I needed the mirror to take a picture of my credential while I was in the same bathroom? It's just a bad look.
Well, here's the thing. That's why you're not credentialed with anything.
Maybe he could take a picture of me with the credential.
That's why you're not allowed to be credentialed, because you're the queen of tool bags.
Is that why I don't get to go to the NFL stuff?
That's why you don't get to go to anything.
No, I go to a lot of stuff.
Not anymore.
Major League Soccer, I went. I was there.
Not with you got us into the media area without
up.
Credentials.
I moved up a couple pegs or two.
Here's another reason why you don't take a selfie of you holding your credential is because you'll most likely now be losing your credential.
Right, blacklisted.
Well, you know why. Do you know why?
I have no idea.
What would be the number one reason why you don't take a picture holding a credential and put it out in the world?
Security reasons.
Well, sort of. Yeah, security. But how many people are now going to duplicate that credential?
Oh, of course. Right. Because each UFC credential, they change like the logo, the font, well, something to make it unique.
But any credential.
To that event.
This is a NFL credential, but right. It's any credential. Sure. If you put it out there, there's people smarter than you.
Then they'll scan it and print it and create their own credential with their name and then try to walk on to the field.
Exactly. Exactly. So the king of tool bag has now taken over your reign.
Well, I'll sit in second place like Kayla Harrison says Chris Cyborg should be and the PFL. She's openly calling her out to come over to the PFL, Alex Nicholson's league, obviously. And
oh, he owns it now?
Well, he's in it.
Okay.
And then so he will be... she said she has a very special place for her at the second place in the PFL. Thoughts?
You know, I think it'd be a great place for her to go. I don't think she will.
Okay.
You know, but finish out the year. You know, if Ray Cepho would put something together allowing her to come over and join in now, you know, that might be worth it for her to win $1 million with 4 months left to go in the year, five sure. months, whatever month this is.
Do you see any reconciliation with the UFC?
No.
I mean, So her and Dana, I mean, it's just like an employee, right? I mean, you can't doctor video allegedly and make it one side where your boss looks like the bad guy and then
okay,
still
hold
expect
on a second. Depends on who you are.
Okay.
Just like anything.
Okay.
You don't think if Conor McGregor did that? I mean, it's just the facts of life.
Oh, sure, sure.
You know, I always talk about there was two wide receivers on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay.
And this happened in the same year. Two DUI situations.
Okay.
One got released. He was the third string wide receiver.
Uh-huh.
And the star wide receiver got his hand slapped.
So, just based on what value you bring to
exactly.
the team
but
or
that's
to
anything.
The sport. Or, right, in any industry. I mean, it happens in pizza. Like, some guys... They take get comfortable and they take advantage and, you know, do I fire them and start
it's
all
life.
Over or?
It's that's everyday life.
Right.
Those things happen in everyday life.
Sure.
I do think it's over. Things can change. Dana just recently tweeted out that, you know, what a headache she was, that she was just another Tito Ortiz.
Since day one. Since day one, he says she's been a nightmare to deal with.
Well, you know, it's difficult. And this is what I've always said about the great legend himself, Cal Ripken.
Okay.
Cal Ripken has a fantastic reputation.
The Iron Man.
Right?
Yeah,
correct?
Man, that's a great nickname.
I believe it's harder to be a great, down-to-earth, awesome person than a douchebag. It's easy to be a douchebag.
Sure.
And so, you know, when you say that Chris Cyborg did all these bad things, or you say whoever does all these bad things, when every single person, media people, fans, the organization, everyone kisses your butt, it's hard to be a normal, everyday person.
Sure.
You know, even the people, and I won't say names, but even the people that we all love and think are great people, they've all drifted. It's hard not to.
Of course. And you're dealing with superstar personalities and $100 million athletes and people, you know, that's how it's hard to manage the NFL. The players make way more money than the head office, the front office, the owner. Well, not the owner.
Look at Zeke Elliott.
Yeah.
You know, look at, you know, him saying that he's going to sit out. You know, since when? Well, I'll tell you when, but contracts are not worth what they're written on.
Sure.
You know, if you had an employee that says, you know what, I'm not making pizzas unless you give me more money. What are you going to do?
Make more pizzas.
By yourself.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, that's what I do. That's my job. You except today, I came in my fight gear because I'm ready for my fight camp. Have you got me my contract yet?
Not yet.
I'm ready. I'm ready to sign the dotted line.
We are working on it. I'm supposed to talk to him pretty soon.
Do I get to pick my opponent?
No, I'm picking it.
No, you can't because you're going to give me something lame like, Jared from Subway.
I got to be honest with you.
The bagel guy.
Honestly. And I say this with all the love and love everywhere.
Let's go.
You're a moron.
No.
You are.
Me?
You are.
Why am I a
moron? You are. Because the people that you are saying to me, and I'm going to say it live on the air, the people that you're saying that you believe, not only you want to fight,
say it. Say
but you believe you could be.
Say the name.
I honestly believe Randy Couture could be dead for 2 weeks and he'd still beat you.
But what did I say exactly?
That you could beat him.
No, I did not say
Oh, that. Now you're changing your words.
I did not. What did
that's,
I say?
That's,
what, you said, who would you like to fight? And I said,
Randy Couture.
I said Couture. Oh. I was talking juicy. You know, like the clothing, I figured was like velvet. It'd be soft to land on.
Oh, you're such a clown.
It's like maybe some pillow fighting involved.
All right. So let me run down what's coming up next. We're past 2:20.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Where's Usman at?
Well, no. Kamaru is coming up.
Camaro.
Yeah, he's bringing me a Camaro.
Get him a sponsorship.
I am.
Go.
Big Kamaru Usman. Taking on Kobe Covington.
Like, did Woodley just fall off? Nobody cares about Woodley anymore?
Yes.
he's not even a factor anymore. It's all muscle.
And isn't he number one? Isn't he the number one whatever?
He's not even mentioned this week. Not in any conversation, anywhere, on anything. Did Tyron Woodley just retire and we don't know? Is he gone? Does he not want his title back?
All right. Here's another thing. And I'm going to talk to Kamaru about this.
Okay.
You know my relationship with Matt Hughes.
Yes.
You know my relationship or lack of with trash talking and Kobe Covington.
Yes. But he is a Trumpster. So I'm sure.
Oh, I don't. That fan. Is nothing. No, I could care less.
He was talking more about the Trump train, the Kobe train, not the Matt Hughes train.
No, he was talking both.
Oh.
You know, the line that he said after was, Robbie Lawler just learned or should have learned from his good friend Matt Hughes, get off the tracks when the train is coming through. The Trump train, the Covington train. As much as I didn't like what he said, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, it's part of the game. It's part of the fight game.
Now all of a sudden there's rules.
Well, yeah. Well, there's no rules in the beginning. Well, eye poking and I don't know what else.
Well, but no, that's a stern warning.
Oh,
yeah, you get a stern warning
well,
if you
well, back to UFC
eye.
One. There was like eye poking and like no kicks to the groin. Like, those are the only two rules.
No, you
was.
Could punch to the groin.
Back in UFC One?
Absolutely.
Oh, I thought there was like two
no.
rules.
There was no fish hooking.
Okay.
And I believe no eye gouging. But go in and YouTube Kevin Hackney, where it's like 47 straight groin strikes. Groin strikes.
Oh, no.
It's pretty funny. It's legal. But, you know, unwritten rules. I hate unwritten rules.
Sure.
Either it's a rule or it's not.
Right.
Hasn't a fighter's wife been called a whore?
I think Tito, when he was with Jameson, the porn star, that was a big controversy of like that her career was brought up into the trash talking.
Wasn't an Irish fighter saying about his opponent that his wife was a whore or his mom was a whore?
Yes.
And people didn't like it. I
right.
get that. But when you're trash talking and it's this fake wrestling stuff, which is what a lot of the MMA has gone, it's the direction that a lot of this has gone, is awful, but there's no rules.
Right.
You know, who is anybody to say you can't, you've overstepped the line? What is overstepping the line when you're talking stupidity?
Talking about kids, mothers, wives. I mean, there's the unwritten rule is you leave the personal side out of their life, which the Matt Hughes thing is personal. It's things that he's done outside of the octagon, the train, the accident, the alleged abuse with his wife, the restraining orders with his brother.
Well, that hasn't been brought up. You know, it was about
well,
him
he
getting
did bring
hit by
it
the train.
He did bring it up afterwards when he was asked about it in further interviews. And he said, look, this guy outside has these things going on. Like, what do you guys have a problem with? Why are you guys so sensitive? Snowflakes. And I don't have a problem with it.
And I even said this before I knew Matt Hughes' response. Before I knew Robbie Lawler's response. Now, other fighters, I know Tyron has made some comments negative about Colby, but that's, you know, whatever. Trash talking is trash talking. It's
sure.
awful. It's to hype. It's to sell. And again, it always bothers me because I always buy into it. I always buy into it that it's real, that the hatred is real. And then they hug after.
Sure.
You know, look at the dislike with Robbie and Colby, yet they fist pounded after.
I mean, once you go in there and you share that octagon or that space with another warrior, you know, it's a mutual respect amongst warriors. But, I mean, that's why one championship is gaining so much traction in the Eastern Hemisphere. It's because it's built on respect and honor, and there isn't the trash talking. You know, they're going in there as warriors, but there's a respect for the martial art. There's a respect for their family name. There's a respect for the culture and the community. So it's a whole federation built on positivity, not trash talking and, you know, cheap antics.
Okay, good enough. Let's go ahead and break.
Yeah.
I'm done with this. I'm done with everything.
Oh, you're not done.
I'm done.
It's been wired up.
No, I'm done until we come back.
Okay.
Because then the champ's on.
Yeah, the champ.
The champ is here. Who comes out to that? The champ is here. The champ. Is that John Jones? I think it's John Jones that comes out. The champ is here. The champ is here.
It would make sense for John Jones.
Well, there's, what, 47 champs with all these organizations.
If I say I'm going to fight a Jones, you're going to throw John in the mix?
If you were to say
Davy Jones, or the Beetle guy, or what was that? Who's that?
Isn't he dead too?
I'll take that guy.
I still think he wins.
Who do I box in celebrity boxing? Chime in. Like, go to the Facebook page, Knockout Radio. Chime in on who you think I, the Naked Pizza Man, should box.
Okay, all right, hold on a second.
Boxing.
Hold on a second. I know you like to go by this naked stupidity. If I'm putting this together, which I am, if I am getting you in this celebrity boxing event coming up, I already forgot the date, November, whatever.
Okay.
There is no naked pizza, nothing. There's not. Matt McClellan.
No.
From Tour de Pizza.
Matt McClellan's not famous. The Naked Pizza Man is global.
Honestly, neither one is famous.
Then we'll settle with Pizza Gladiator.
The pizza guy. The pizza guy fights the bagel guy.
No, I can't fight the bagel guy. The guy was he like 4'3"?
And he would be your. All right, this is Knockout Radio brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Zone. When we come back, Kamaru Usman.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
What's up, guys? This is Justin the Highlight Gaethje. You're about to get KO'd by Knockout Radio. Eight Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Eight Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Three vehicles, six competitions, where every athlete is in it to win it. Monster Jam Triple Threat Series, presented by official partners America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses, Metro by T-Mobile, and 1-800-ASK-GARY. Get your buy three tickets, get one free savings coupon from participating Metro by T-Mobile locations. Restrictions and exclusions may apply. See savings coupon for details. Don't miss this live event that's fun for all ages. Coming to Emily Arena August 24th.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Wouldn't it be sweet to have an endless supply of Culver's fresh frozen custard? Do what we do. Pour fresh dairy into your temperature-controlled custard machine. Trust me, once you have one, you'll wonder how you ever lived without it. Adjust flow to produce creamy ribbons of frozen custard. And lastly, do the spoon test to ensure smooth texture. Yum.
Better yet, come to Culver's and leave the whole frozen custard made throughout the day thing to us. Welcome to Delicious.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Hi, this is Herschel Walker, and I tell you, everyone out there listening, y'all need to listen to Knockout Radio.
Hi, from 88th Avenue and 4th Street in St. Pete. You know what I wish Herschel Walker would have said in that liner? I want to tell everyone out there listening, don't.
Why would you?
Because that would be funny. But to say anyone listening, you need to listen. Well, they're listening.
Yeah, don't listen.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the Carlton Fisk one. You know, all you know, what are you listening for? Are you crazy or goofy or something? You know, to me, that would have been a little funnier.
When you tell people they can't do something, they want to do it more. So don't listen.
You can't be a celebrity. You can't fight somebody with a lot of talent. We need you to start small and work your way up.
All right, so who do you want to fight? Like Uriah Faber?
No, how about you fight the next guy that's coming on, the next person that we have on the air? That's who you fight.
Usman?
Yeah.
What weight class?
Doesn't matter. You'd lose. He could be blindfolded, hands tied behind his back, and my buddy Kamaru Usman would take you out.
I get power in the mohawk.
Hey, champ, how are you?
I am phenomenal. How are you, Randy?
Not too bad. Does that ever get old being called that? You know, hey, champ.
I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of it because I feel like the word kind of gets misused. and not just misuse, it puts some people in a place of comfort. And I've never, of course, I thought of myself as the champion, and that's what I always wanted to be, and that's the way that I worked. But I don't want to be called that, because the more you call that, the more it beats that into your head to where it's like, oh, I am the champ. You know what? I'm just going to relax. I don't need to train today.
Well, and that's what, you know, people have always said, that it's harder to become the champion than remain the champion, probably for that exact thing.
Absolutely. Because you got all these hungry guys that are constantly thinking, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. But then you got the one guy at the top that says, oh, you know, I'm the champion. I'm going to relax now.
How has your life changed since, what was it? I don't even remember the date. What was the date?
March.
Okay.
It's changed a lot, because I haven't been able to grasp the control. And it's not necessarily something that I liked and something that I wanted. I'm a person who, I'm pretty private. I like my time. I have a 5-year-old daughter, so I like my time with her. But becoming a champion, now everyone demands your time. Everything demands your time. They need you to go here and do this interview, do that show, fly here for this appearance, fly there for that, meet thousands of people, shake all these hands. But then at the end of the day, it's like, okay, well, I still have time. I still have to find time for my 5-year-old. And then where's my time for me to refocus, regroup, and keep my mind sane? So that's probably the biggest change that I've noticed.
And something that I'm sure you're aware of, and I'm very proud of, and I know Matt will say this, that my family have always been number one. You know, I haven't done other things. And it's easier for me to say that to do it than, you know, an athlete that is now a champion that has these other responsibilities. But the things that you will never get back is yesterday with your family, you know, this morning
absolutely.
With family. And that's what a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing necessarily, like, I don't find to be a positive about being a champion. It's just that I understand that yesterday is yesterday. There's just no way you can get that time back. That's the one thing we can't buy, is time. And I would love to spend the time, the appropriate time, with the important people in my life, which is my family and my daughter.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this. How did you stay so composed after the fight Saturday night when Colby came up on set?
I mean, in general, that's who I am. I'm a composed person. I thought I did the most. I thought I went way out of myself. But it's just, when there's a guy that you just don't like that much, it brings out, evokes out certain emotions. It just kind of brings those things out. And you know, he, for some reason, he might feel like he's getting under my skin. He's not getting under my skin. I'm just acting accordingly. When it's time, if we do step inside that octagon together, it's not going to be any different. I'm going to do what I've always done from the start, and I'm going to get the same results I've always got.
Let me ask you this, and I want to try to ask it, you know, properly. You know me pretty well. You know that anything that I say, I'll say to anybody. I don't talk behind people's backs. I want them to know.
Yeah.
I confronted the guy that threw the American flag on the ground at a bare knuckle event. I confronted him in Tampa. So it's important for me to ask you this question. Matt Hughes is a very good friend of mine. The comment that Colby Covington said, which I was not a fan of, I don't necessarily have the problem that I think a lot of people are having, because when you say stupid stuff, it just continues. Is there stepping over the line? What is stepping over the line when you're talking stupidity?
I mean, that right there kind of gives the insight on a lot of the way that I feel about a lot of society nowadays. That gives that right there sums it up. Is there's really society nowadays? There's really no line. There's really no line. It's like you're supposed to just understand what I'm doing and deal with it. And so, yes, let's be honest. It's a fake act. We know it's an act. And that's why a lot of people have such a problem with it, because those aren't the principles that martial arts are built on. Martial arts are built on being real, being true to yourself, being an upstanding person with discipline and courage and respect. And now this guy, for lack of this Covington cat, is now taking it way left to where it was WWE, that entertainment, where they're just there to entertain. And he's running with it. I think he started initially just to get attention because no one cared about him before this. But he started it to get attention. And once he got a little bit of attention, the character kind of consumed him to where now you can't put it down. And that showed right there, because if you really watch closely, right after that fight, when they were standing there before the referee raised the winner's hand, you see him lean over and you see him tell Robbie, I love you. I appreciate that. Or thank you. I love you. Something like that. Because that's really who he is. I think he's a sweet boy. I honestly think he's a sweet boy. But then, now you jump back across the line with the Matt Hughes comment. So it's like, there's really no line anymore. Like, these new school kids nowadays, they don't care. They don't care. They say whatever they want, and you're just supposed to deal with whatever they live with, lead you with.
Well, and I feel that part of the problem is the people before them that did it and got successful. Conor McGregor, Tito Ortiz, Chael Sonnen. You know, they all said it to some extreme. And like I said, when there's no unwritten, you know, this unwritten rule of what is and what isn't, he's just taking it to the next level because, you know what? It's going to get him a fight, most likely, against you, the champion.
And absolutely. And that's the thing. The thing is, that's what MMA, that's what martial arts is supposed to be. Martial arts is built on, if you're a martial artist, you know that there's an unwritten rule, unwritten code of respect that you have for another martial artist. Because they went through the same struggles and the same discipline and lessons that you had to learn to become a martial artist. And so that's where a lot of people have problems with guys like this nowadays, to where they think, oh, well, I can just say whatever I want because it makes me popular, or it makes me famous, or it makes people talk about me. And guys like Conor McGregor, Conor is Conor. That's a different guy. There are some guys that have toted that line, guys that have crossed that line, but that's them. But if you're built on the principles that you really believe that you are a professional, a mixed martial artist with respect, then you have to have that. And these guys just don't have that nowadays.
Okay, let's switch gears for a minute because I don't want to take too much of your time. A very good friend of mine who used to do my radio show here in Tampa quite often, played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I believe you guys work out, you know, from time to time. So tell me a little bit about Sabby Piscitelli, or I think he goes by Tino Sabatini now, in NXT.
Tino.
Tell me, talk to us a little bit about former Tampa Bay Buccaneer Sabby.
Yeah, Sabby's a man. Sabby's one of our inducted him into what we call the good boy crew, you know, down here with Rashad, myself, Rashad, Tyrone Spong. So Sabby is kind of one of the boys, amazing athlete, as you know, former football player, now wrestling, pro wrestler now. So, you know, he's making his way up those ranks. He's got the physique, of course. He's got the look, of course. You know, now, you know, like, it's for everybody. It's just that opportunity. Once you get your opportunity to shine, you got to make sure you're prepared and ready to take that by storm.
We all go through and something happens that hits you of where you're at or how old you are or where you are in your career or whatever. True story. Sabby does the radio show. We go out for dinner afterwards, and it hit me that I've been married longer than Sabby has been alive.
Wow. Hey, it happens. It happens. And even now, I remember when I was, I really think often when I was 12, and I would always say, man, I can't wait to be 18 so I could buy cigarettes and Playboys, or 21 so I could buy alcohol. Not that I even did any of those things. It was just, I couldn't wait to be that age. And then before you know it, I'm sitting here, I'm like, I'm 32 years old. Oh, my God, where did the time go? Because I still feel like I'm 18, but I'm 32. So I guess I'm not seeing you around, Randy. You know, you look about 22. So That's not a bad deal then.
Okay. Well, you just said you're 32, and yes, I've been married longer than you've been alive as well. it's all good. So everything good down there, family good, fun, doing all the stuff that you need to be doing now just to enjoy who you are and who your family is?
Well, we're doing the best we can. That's the best we can ask for. And things are going to happen in life. It's just how you deal with them that's important. You can't control it. You're all on the journey.
Final question for you, and then I'll let you go. What fight or fights, other than anything that you're going to be doing, are you looking forward to seeing?
I'm looking forward to seeing. I'm paying close attention to that Anthony Pettis, Nate Diaz fight. Let's take a look at that there. That's the little wild card we got going on there. That's the wild card playoff in that welterweight division. So, hey.
Well, definitely be a fun fight to watch, that's for sure. Are you a football fan? I mean, do you follow the Dolphins or any NFL team?
I used to. And then I got engulfed in this mixed martial arts. And it's just like every moment, every day I'm thinking about it. But I have a ton of football friends, especially this year with the Ravens. My buddy Mark Ingram plays for them. Willie Sneed. We've got a ton of guys there. And we got some guys at the Browns. So this year I absolutely have to pay closer and closer attention.
Depending on camp and what you're doing, the Browns are playing the Bucks in 3 weeks up here in Tampa.
Oh, that might not be bad, because I've got that, and then I've got, I think we're going to have to definitely maybe make a trip.
But let's talk about it. I'll talk to the Bucks. We'll get you on the field. You can hang it on whichever side you choose, and you'll have a good time in Tampa.
All right. I love it.
Thank you very much. As always, thank you for your time. Say hi to the family, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Will do. My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Take care. He has been involved with us since The Ultimate Fighter, and I don't know if you've noticed this, because you don't pay much attention.
No.
Do you know that's the first time we've had him on since he won his championship?
Is it?
I've done that on purpose.
Really?
I've stayed away.
You don't want to be like one of those guys.
I don't want to be that guy. I know our relationship. Sure. I know it's all, there's been plenty of people that I know. I know.
Sure.
I know a lot. Believe me.
It's
not important to prove that. I could have gotten him on right after he won.
And how cool is it that we were in the lobby in Brooklyn at the Fighter Hotel when he said, "I'm going to be the champ," with like pure conviction. A lot of guys talk it, hype it up. They pretend like they're ready for that moment or that stardom or that title. But he was ready. I mean, we walked away from that moment. We're like, he's ready. Mentally, he's ready.
I don't think he's changed. Now, again, I'm not around him on a daily basis, and we've talked about this, but that conversation we just had is no different than the conversation we had for the Ultimate Fighter finale.
And look, the welterweight division is stacked. Of all the division, this one could be the most competitive, So I'm curious to see how it all plays out. What does Masvidal do? What does Leon Edwards do? What do these guys do now? Like, are they just going to
Leon Edwards is going to fight Masvidal.
But is that the fight for either one of those? Some people say that Leon Edwards deserves a title shot.
Well, no. The title shot's going to Covington.
Because of everything.
Because
he manhandled Robbie Lawler.
Because of the way he looked. Because he can sell it.
He dominated it.
Do you think Leon Edwards would sell the fight like Colby or like Masvidal would?
No. The cardio of Colby matches up with the cardio of Usman. These guys, it's going to be a war.
What'd you think of the cardio of Robbie?
It was five rounds. It was impressive, but he just got manhandled.
I'm not saying that he didn't.
Beat at his own game. I was surprised. Were you surprised by the way Colby stood in there and threw punches and actually fought Robbie at his strength?
The thing that's always, been mentioned, and I've always heard that he got old. He got old in the ring. I remember when I went to Germany with Tyrone Booz, and we've talked about, me being in his corner and all that kind of stuff, and they said he got old in the middle of the ring. and I don't necessarily buy that, but did Robbie throw a left hand? I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. Yes, Colby Covington dominated him for five rounds. Absolutely.
And if Robbie would have won that fight, everybody would have been calling for him to get the next title shot. You know, I mean,
I think people would have loved the fact that Robbie beat him because so many people dislike Colby Covington. And I hope, you know, my comment about the Matt Hughes thing made sense.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it's, is it any different in comedy? You know, I don't know the guy's name. Who was the guy that was going to marry Ariana Grande?
Oh, is that
Davidson?
Eric Mayoral?
No, something. Yeah, no, that's what, Eric Fosso. Good job.
Because he went through the meet and greet.
What's his name? Pete Davidson, I think his name is.
Oh, yeah.
Pete Davidson, according to my son, because I don't know anything about Pete Davidson's dad, died on 9/11.
Okay.
Yet he tells 9/11 jokes.
Okay.
Snoop Dogg, allegedly, I've never heard it, I guess made a joke, or no, somebody made a joke about Snoop Dogg and said the only person that's inhaled or had more smoke than Snoop Dogg is Pete Davidson's father.
Right.
Talking about 9/11.
Right.
And Pete Davidson loved it. He thought it was funny. That's how he deals with
sure.
it. So if comedy, if there's nothing off limits except for, you know, 4 a.m. tweets when you shouldn't be tweeting.
Well, it's just the world we live in. Like, if you're a normal person, you can't make fun of somebody's disability. But somebody with a disability makes fun of themselves all the time. Makes fun of, like, hearing impaired people. Like, the hearing impaired people put a hearing aid in and pretend it's an iPod.
Do you watch,
and then talk crazy about themselves.
Do you watch America's Got Talent?
Yes.
Did you see the handicapped comedian?
I didn't see it, no.
So there's a handicapped comedian who has no hands, no arms.
Okay.
You know, it's, I don't know what it's called. But and he made a joke how, you know, he just flew in, you know, damn American Airlines. I just flew in and they lost my arms.
Right. He can say that. You cannot say that. You say, hey, anything. You know, so that's just the double standard world that we live in. And that's why the Matt Hughes thing doesn't really matter. Because who cares? It's an opinion, and it's free speech.
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
I don't. You know, if Matt has a problem with it, that's Matt,
yeah.
And it's about Matt. But I've said something similar. Not that, but I've always joked about it and said, who's your favorite fighter? Well, he's not that good, because my favorite fighter got hit by a blankety-blank train and is still here. So is that just as bad? Is that worse? Yeah. It is what it is.
I mean, everybody's sensitive to everything now. You can't have an opinion because it's always wrong. You know, so it just gets harder. Comedians now can't do their skits because they offend too many people of a certain race or a religion or a culture or a sexual preference. It's just asinine. It's just stupid that the world we live in, you can't be real anymore.
All right, here's something else that is asinine. So, and I feel bad for the parents of who I'm about to tell you about.
Okay.
I mean, that's awful. You know, death is awful.
Oh, no.
When your child dies is awful.
Oh, no.
But I believe the story is a girl, I don't know how old she was snorkeling on one of those snorkeling excursions in the Bahamas.
Okay.
And was attacked by a shark.
Okay.
Okay. So now the parents are adamant about getting changes and getting laws changed. And, well, first of all, you're swimming in the middle of the ocean.
Sure.
You know, sometimes you have to take, you know, your own precautions, like maybe not do it.
Or maybe not do it during Shark Week.
Yeah.
What week was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, 51 other weeks you could have picked.
Now, I also heard.
Is that a bad joke?
No. Hey, whatever. None of that stuff really bothers me. What does bother me is, I guess this boat, and I guess they didn't have to have watches, shark watches.
Okay.
Like they didn't have, they're in the middle of. Yeah, so, I mean, they're both wrong. First, I wouldn't do it. But then again, I went and pet stingrays.
Sure.
What's to keep a shark from coming over to I don't remember somebody there with a gun.
Right.
Of course, he might not legally be allowed to have a gun, depending on.
Yeah, Steve Irwin. I mean, he bought a stingray and lost.
Well, he didn't fight it. The fish jumped in. And now, see? Oh, my God. Now we're going to get hate mail.
Yeah, well, the address is 8824 4th Street North in care of the Naked Pizza Man.
So in other words, so you won't get it because there's no such person.
Exactly.
Where did you come up? Oh, that's right. You already told me.
Yeah,
because,
it's too long.
Because the guy in New York City makes so much money, and you think if you
naked
jump,
cowboy
on, if you jump on his bandwagon.
His name is Robert Burke, and he was helping me develop a Naked Pizza Man character. But his agent, Todd Rupenstein, got involved and wanted me to dress like a cowboy and represent their oyster company. And that doesn't change lives. And that doesn't uplift the pizza industry. So I walked away from
it. No, but it uplifts my stomach and my enjoyment
and
eating oysters.
And something else. It uplifts. It's an aphrodisiac. No. So I became the Naked Pizza Man and just did it on my own.
It's going to be tough to top hour one.
Hour one's solid.
You know who's in hour two?
Nope.
We have the return of Chris Lights Out Lighter.
He's got this picture and name on the wall.
Who is getting back in competition.
No.
Yes.
I thought he was just commentating.
He will be in Biloxi, where I will be. Oh, and also Mickey Gall scheduled to be on. He's on the beach.
Mickey Gall coming off a fresh win.
Hanging on the beach up there in New Jersey. But here's what Chris Lytle is about ready to do. We have about 5 minutes that we can discuss this. Next Friday in Anaheim is a jiu-jitsu tournament.
Okay.
Four teams.
Awesome.
The teams are captained by Craig Jones. I believe you want to fight him. You said you'd fight a Jones.
I said I would, what was my pick, Davy Jones?
Yeah, well, you're going to go with his cousin, Craig. you know about Craig Christ, right?
No.
You don't know about Craig Christ?
No.
You don't know about Jesus' brother, Craig Christ?
He had a brother?
Yes, you didn't know that?
No, where does he work, Lowe's?
At 4:01, when we're off this program, I will play you.
The Craig Christ?
The Craig. Well, no, this is.
Were you around back then?
This is the best. What do you hear?
You and Clay Gluta back in BC.
I talked to Clay the other day.
How's he doing?
He went to the Yankees Red Sox game.
Okay.
He's back in Chicago shooting a Ford commercial.
Okay.
He's okay.
He's good.
He said sometimes you get caught.
You got caught.
He got caught. So back to the Jits tournament.
Okay.
Team BJJ Fanatics is captained by Craig Jones. Team Lights Out, Urban Achievers.
Okay.
Couldn't you just go Teams Light Out?
Urban Achievers. What is that? Sounds like a backpacking.
Captain Chris Lytle. And you know who else is on that team?
Nope.
Rico Rodriguez.
Oh, the first UFC warrior.
Joe Diesel Riggs.
Joe Diesel, my boy.
Is going to be flopping around.
That's my boy.
Team Sug. Who do you think's the captain of Team Sug?
I don't know.
I'm disappointed that he's not competing. He's just the captain.
Team Sug, who?
The bad guy. Chael Sonnen.
Oh, what? So this is why you want to go to Anaheim.
I want to combine the two. I always say that if there's more than one, this would now make sense. Because
makes sense.
The Jits tournament on Friday, which I really enjoyed.
Do they need an announcer?
No. They're using a stick figure.
Well, I'm the Jits Kings announcer promoter.
You're a loser. Just sit there. And team number four, Team Lionheart.
Oh, okay.
So who would that's captain be?
Diego Sanchez, the Nightmare.
Or Anthony Smith.
Oh,
such a moron.
But Diego goes by the Lionheart.
I don't know what he goes by anymore.
He changes it every week.
One of his participants, one of his teammates, Joe Warren.
Okay.
The baddest man on the planet. I thought Ken Shamrock was the baddest man on the planet.
Yeah, who's else got that title? I want to start a petition. You can only have one nickname per combat fighter.
Because that's an unwritten rule.
Unwritten rule. There's too many nightmares. Abidale from Bare Knuckle 7 coming up this week. He's got the Nightmare. You got Diego Sanchez, the Nightmare. You got Nightmare. You got Cyborg is a Nightmare to Dana White. There's too many Nightmares.
Oh, my God. You actually had a good one. That was almost pretty good. You know, because of that, and we have 2 minutes or so left of this hour, because of that, what you just said, I will allow you to stay here into the second hour.
Oh, sweet.
I'm not sure you're going to finish the hour, but into the second hour would be okay. I might be able to live with that. So, yeah. So, the Jits tournament is next Friday, and I'm looking forward to that. Did you hear about the van situation?
No.
I was talking about stupidity with Alex.
Okay.
You know, about some of these comments about the keyboard warriors. And, you know, he said about stupidity in MMA and combat sports. Stupidity everywhere.
Everywhere.
So, we purchased two vans, both from Jacksonville. One was delivered to Orlando. The other was delivered to the branch in Tampa.
Okay.
I get a phone call. The seat doesn't fit. So there's a bench seat, because these are all vans, that doesn't fit into the slot.
Okay.
First of all, how do you send that van that, by the way, was at a recall on Monday that they had to fix something?
Oh, no.
How do you send it? How does the driver drive 4 hours from Jacksonville and not hear it clank around? And then for them to say, oh, did you want that fixed?
I don't know. I mean, they talk about the brain damage that happens in combat sports, but I think there's more in the auto industry.
it's everywhere. Now, I did tell one of the dealerships that we have just as many morons as you do. So it definitely goes without saying. All right, 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. A lot of coolness in hour number two coming up with Mickey Gall, Chris Lytle, and possibly a very big surprise. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Stafford.
She said, look, what's your
game? Yo, this is Platinum Mike Perry. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Three vehicles, six competitions, where every athlete is in it to win it. Monster Jam Triple Threat Series, presented by official partners America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses, Metro by T-Mobile, and 1-800-ASK-GARY. Get your buy three tickets, get one free savings coupon from participating Metro by T-Mobile locations. Restrictions and exclusions may apply. See savings coupon for details. Don't miss this live event that's fun for all ages. Coming to Emily Arena August 24th.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.